moments this morning in this book of 2 Timothy, which is really a very different book than 1 Timothy, even though same names, completely different books. The book of 1 Timothy is instruction on how to be an evangelist for Timothy, directed in the city of Ephesus. 2 Timothy is a completely different letter. I want to spend just a couple of moments talking about this young man. We know something about him from the book of Acts. Luke records it. And then we find out more as the scriptures go on. In Acts chapter 16, we learn a little bit about this man named Timothy. He was a young man, and Paul, who calls Timothy really his son in the faith, taught Timothy quite a bit. We learn about his personal experience, that his grandmother and mother were both believers. His mother was a Jewish woman, and she was married, obviously, to Timothy's father, who was a Greek. Now, for us, that doesn't mean much, but that was a huge situation back in that first century time. Jew and Gentile pretty well lived in the same areas together, but very seldom would you hear of a Gentile and a Jewish person being married together. And that's why it's significant that Timothy is a living example of what Jesus preached on inclusion. In fact, later in Galatians chapter 3, Paul talks about how in our baptism we are all children of Abraham. We've all been baptized into Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And Timothy was a walking, breathing, talking, living example of what that can look like. Because back in those days, there was a tremendous amount of prejudice. Well, I don't know, a Greek and a Jew being married and their offspring, and it's like, stay away from that situation. But no, not at all. Timothy was a living example of this. And we do know that Timothy's mother, whose name was Eunice, and grandmother Lois, were both big-time believers. Now, it doesn't say anything about Timothy's father. There is the suggestion that because it says that Timothy's mother and grandmother were both believers, and it doesn't say that his father was a believer, that there's this indication that he probably wasn't. But I'm not so sure about that. He could have been a wonderful person. He could have been a believer. And it could have been a happy relationship. But Paul is specific that no doubt about it, he got his heritage, his spiritual heritage, from his mother and his grandmother. And he begins this journey as an evangelist at Ephesus. I can't imagine what it would have been like for Timothy when he started his ministry. I remember the first church I was ever hired to preach at, and how excited I was, and how loving and encouraging people were. I'd like to think that was true in Timothy's situation. I'd love to believe that when Timothy started his full-time work with this church at Ephesus, that it was a wonderful gathering, and the church maybe have brought Timothy up to the front and put their hands on him and prayed over him, and he's going to be their preacher, and the congregation were loving him, and it was going to be wonderful, and it was going to be great. And at the end of his sermon, his first sermon, people might pat him on the back and talk to him and so forth. And you know what I'm really doing is I'm taking something in the first century and making it look like today, when that wouldn't have been the case at all. There were no church buildings back in those days. If they met, they would be meeting in somebody's house or out somewhere down outside or whatever. It didn't look like it looks today. There wouldn't have been pews. There wouldn't have been a chairperson. There wouldn't have been a song leader. It would have been a group of people who just were believers, and they needed to grow, and Timothy was the one who helped them to grow. But like Timothy, you can soon get this in reading the scriptures. That honeymoon period started to end because there were a group of people in Ephesus that were sort of pulling Timothy away to this side and say, Timothy, you know, your sermons have been pretty good, but look, you've got to get back over here and follow all that Old Testament teaching. We know what those prophets talked about. You've got to stay strong in this. And then there were another group of people who were trying to pull Timothy over here. Say, come on, Timothy. Those were old things. They're gone now. We're moving on ahead. We've got some progressive things that we want to talk about. Oh, and have you ever heard about Gnosticism? Yeah, it's pretty cool. Let me tell you about Gnosticism. And then you have Timothy, who is young, just trying to get a handle on it all. And without getting very far in this book of 2 Timothy, you can find Timothy exhausted. It's a personal letter of encouragement to a young preacher who is wiped out. It seems like everything started great and now things are falling apart and he is wore out. In fact, he's backing away from his responsibility as being a preacher, and Paul is writing him and telling him to be strong in the faith. And Timothy was starting to be dragging himself back by the weight that he felt all day long, maybe even in his sleep. It was just bothering him so much. And so he begins this book, Paul does, this letter, in encouraging Timothy to remind him of what it was like when he first started out and all the things that he learned about it. I know that you're getting hammered, Paul is saying, but don't be ashamed of anything. Get back to what I've been calling you to. And if you're following along in your scriptures, I love a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 7. And whether someone's been preaching for a little while or a long time, this makes sense. In verse 7, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, this translation says this: Timothy, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. And I think that's probably true of any working situation. You don't have to be a preacher for this to be involved. Whatever working environment you find yourself in, how much has your job changed over the years? How much of the culture on your job has changed over the years? What is the learning curve like in your working environment? And sometimes it can be overpowering. And the advice that Paul is giving Timothy is also good advice for us. God didn't give us a spirit of being cowardly, being backed off, timidity, but he gave us a spirit, a power of love and self-discipline, that power that comes from God. So he says, so don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. And this is a wonderful book that talks about there are other people, Timothy, who are going through the same thing as you. And be refreshed by this. At the latter part of chapter 1 in 2 Timothy, in verse 16, here's what Paul says, really unique. He said, may the Lord show mercy to the entire household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Paul was in prison. He was in prison when he wrote this letter. And there were some people that were maybe saying some things to Timothy, well, if this Paul guy is so great, why is he in prison? He's in prison because he stood up for his faith. And he's reminding Timothy not to be ashamed of the gospel, not to be ashamed of Paul, and not to be ashamed of anyone who maybe by the world standards looks like they aren't living up to a certain way of living. Paul said, yeah, I may not have many material things, but I'm standing up for God. And you can too. And in our world today, I think that even though we're all individual, we're all unique, we all have different working environments, we all have personal lives, there are times, I think, on occasion when we feel like, if anybody just really knew how I felt. When in fact, we've all been there. And we're all there. And we can unite with each other to hold each other up. And this is the encouragement that Paul is giving to Timothy. And even in chapter 2, beginning in verse 14 of chapter 2, he says, keep reminding people of all these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words, and it's of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. And on it goes, which is really a statement, I think, that Paul is saying, even in the church, it's just like going back to grade school. Somebody's angry with somebody else, and so did you hear this and did you hear that, and there's whispers going back and forth and on, and it is simply this, a waste of time and energy. Paul says, forget about that stuff. It's nonsense. All it does is get people upset. Here's what counts. Love God. Love people. Serve your community. You know, that's our theme for our church. Love God. Love each other. Serve each other. Serve the world. And that busyness of being about the work of God will often take care of any kind of woe is me feelings that we may have. Sometimes those woe is me feelings come because we're exhausted. Because there's a lot happening in each of our lives, and we feel overwhelmed. But there is a unity that's expressed in this letter of encouragement that Paul gives to Timothy. So let me just finish this real brief sermon today, and let me change the tone just a little bit and spend some time listening to this Paul fella, the one who's in prison, the one who's writing a young, beat-down, wore-out preacher. And listen to his words, Paul's words, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 16. Paul is in prison, and he says this. At my first offense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. And he's thinking that maybe Timothy's deserted him too. And then he says this, may it not be held against them, because the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I think that's a statement that can be made to every single person this morning. I'm not sure what's happened in your life. Maybe you've never had anyone who's backed away from you or whatever. But what Paul is saying is also true of us. The Lord will rescue us from every evil attack. Isn't that true? It is true. No matter what is happening, he will rescue us from every evil attack. Even if ISIS came in today and none of us left this room alive, the Lord will have rescued us, because when we opened our eyes, we'd be with him. Amen? He will rescue us from every evil attack. But somehow it's human nature that if somebody slights us in any way, it just overwhelms us for such a long, long time that we cannot even be a witness for God, for Jesus Christ. And so Paul is saying, look, those things are going to come. It's part of the job. It's part of being a human being. And not to worry about it. The Lord is standing by your side. And I know there are times in everyone's life where there's this overwhelming loneliness. And if we can just remember, very quietly, even in those feelings of loneliness, there's somebody right beside you. He has never left you. He never will. And he will bring you to him. And it's this beautiful passage that the Lord will rescue us from every evil attack, will bring us safely to his heavenly kingdom, and to him be glory forever and ever. And then he finishes the book by saying, oh, and by the way, and he lists a group of people who want to say, they just want to say hi, Timothy. They just want to say hi. And there's a friendship that we have. So this morning's sermon, I know, was a little bit different, but it really is a letter of encouragement, not just for a preacher, a young preacher, but really for all of us, no matter where we are in life. And somewhere down the road, we'll look in 1 Timothy, which really is a lot of a different type of book, but one that we, I think, can benefit from as well. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for being with us always, not just today, but always. You've always been a step ahead, but you've always been beside us. And Father, sometimes when life just gets a little overbearing, may we just reach up to you, or really reach across to you, because that's where you are, loving us and holding us. And Father, those times when we feel exhausted and encouraged, may we rest sweetly, because we know that you are beside us and always leading the way. And Father, I ask today for every single person here that you would overwhelm each one with your love and with your peace and with your presence, and that each person may be confident of the love that you have for them. And we thank you, and through Christ Jesus, everyone said, amen.